Hi, folks. It's Melissa Murray. This is a recording of my latest cafe note, The Twilight of Constitutional Law. As always, please write to us with your thoughts and questions at letters@cafe.com. Dear listener, for the last 5 years, I've insisted, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that the Trump administration has been a boon for law professors. For 4 rollicking years, teaching constitutional law was a bit like Law and Order. Every topic was literally ripped from the headlines. Imagine preparing to teach Dred Scott and the ratification of the 14th Amendment, only to learn that that very morning, the president had floated the notion of getting rid of birthright citizenship. Kismet. And that was hardly the only Trump administration windfall. Remember the first Trump impeachment? The one about Ukrainian phone calls and the threat of a Russian invasion? Well, while the Senate was debating the meaning of quid pro quo, I was expanding my spring 2020 constitutional law syllabus to include coverage of impeachment and other methods of checking presidential authority. Score. And the hits just kept coming. In January 2021, as the spring semester was starting, I figured I could trim back my coverage of impeachment to devote teaching time to other pressing constitutional law issues. After all, what were the odds that a president would be impeached twice in 15 months? Actually, they were pretty good. Imagine my surprise when the events of January 6th, 2021 led to the second Trump impeachment and yet another opportunity to consider whether the Constitution provides meaningful restraints on presidential authority. Spoiler alert, it does not. But now, as I prepare to close the books on yet another semester of teaching constitutional law, it's hard to see the upside in the current landscape. Over the last few weeks, the news of the leaked draft Supreme Court opinion has dominated the news. And as the leaks dripped continuously, I have been inundated with questions, including questions from my students. Some of those questions are easy to answer. Will the exam include the draft opinion? Certainly not. But other questions are more existential and yield no easy answers. What do you say? What can you say when your students ask you, what was the point of the last 3 months? Why did they spend hours learning the vagaries of constitutional law cases only to have 5 justices treat the law like an etch-a-sketch, blithely shaking the foundations of the legal landscape until everything was erased? What was the point of painstakingly tracing the subtle shifts in constitutional doctrine only to have the court blow up almost 50 years' worth of precedent in a single draft opinion? This is what it is like to teach in the twilight of constitutional law. All semester long, I have been bracing for impact. When I taught Heller versus District of Columbia, the 2008 case in which the court, for the first time, interpreted the Second Amendment to recognize a right to bear arms irrespective of militia service, I warned my students that a pending case, Bruin versus New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, was poised to dramatically expand Second Amendment rights, perhaps even allowing individuals to carry concealed firearms in public. When we covered the non-delegation doctrine, I cautioned them that a series of pending and upcoming cases could potentially reorder an aspect of constitutional law that has been viewed as settled since the 1930s. And of course, when we covered abortion, I made clear that this doctrine was likely to be good law only through June, and maybe not even that long. I tried to prepare them and myself for the inevitable. I tried to steel them and myself for a 5-justice majority that is poised to lay waste to the 20th century. But as news of the leaked draft opinion dominated the news cycle, it became clear that all of that preparation had been for naught. Because there is no way to prepare for a jurisprudential earthquake and the aftershocks to come. All you can do is hold on and try to keep everything from being destroyed. And even that is hard. Because a seismic event like a draft opinion overruling Roe versus Wade isn't simply about eviscerating precedent. It is about eviscerating faith in an institution that over the tumult of the last few years has seemed like the only thing keeping us from the abyss. Do you remember early 2017 when the Trump administration issued the first of multiple iterations of the travel ban? Do you remember the scenes of lawyers flooding the airports armed with laptops, feverishly pecking out challenges to the ban? And it worked. The court stepped in, enjoining the ban and delivering hope that law could be a bulwark against injustice and inequality. But if we won that brief battle, maybe we lost the war. As time marched on, Donald Trump was able to completely transform the federal judiciary, stacking it with judges steeped in the ideologies of the conservative legal movement, judges who would cast doubt on the continued vitality of the Affordable Care Act and the CDC's authority to safeguard the public against a deadly virus. His greatest and most impactful achievement was the appointment of three justices, an act that cemented the 6-3 conservative supermajority that is now poised to roll back two generations' worth of reproductive rights, and with it, our faith in the legal system as a backstop. If the last 5 years have been the twilight of constitutional law, then what lies ahead is surely the dawning of a new age. My students recognize this, as do I. As this new age dawns, how will we keep faith with the court and the law? Can we just hold on and ride out the seismic shifts that are surely coming? Or is it time for some seismic shifts of our own? Stay informed, Melissa.